Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Episode 6. Oh, mum,
iPhone is
ringing.
Trying to FaceTime me. Get
Let's
rid of that.
Decline my mum.
Bye, Donna.
Bye, mum.
Here we are. Episode 6.
Episode 6.
Already.
We are 6 eps deep.
Yeah. So episode 6 with the amazing, like, I've met Tim a couple of times at football charity events and such like. Never really sat down with him like we have for this episode.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's just a diamond, isn't he? He's just like, he's got the gentlest heart. And I mean, Tim's subject, we're on about Tiny Tim's Adventures, who you will know from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
YouTube, obviously. YouTube. I think that's his main kind of shtick.
And he does videos, prank calls.
Yeah.
Famously did the one where he phoned up his school.
He phoned up a nursery, yeah. My old nursery.
Your old nursery.
Where I actually met my wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, he phoned up a nursery, obviously local to my old nursery, and called in sick, which is a stroke of genius, man.
It's brilliant, yeah. So he blew up, and he'll tell you all the exact figures in the chat we've got coming up, but I mean, he just blew up overnight and dealt with it really, really well, found something that he was really good at, took it and ran into the stars of it, and I think he drives a BMW now as well. He's doing quite well.
He's doing all right, mate. Like I've known Tim now for about 6 years or so. As I say in the chat, my missus, one night when we were sort of early on in our relationship, she put me onto these videos on YouTube of this Tiny Tim character, and it was when he worked for a radio station in Manchester called Key 103. And he did the prank calls. He did some brilliant ones. He did one where he was stuck locked in Disneyland, and he was like, "What was it now? Why have they got a fucking 5-foot duck? It's terrifying." I do that voice no justice, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your accents today. I think we've spoken about it in previous.
Oh,
your accents today. You've been on fire.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Been on fire.
So my missus put me onto these videos, and I was like, this is really funny, this. And I found him on Twitter. It was when Twitter was, like, at its peak. And just followed him. Like, just followed it. Didn't know he was from Withenshaw. Didn't know. I knew he was from Manchester, but didn't know he was from around here. And literally, he clocked it before Twitter verification, I think, even was a thing.
Yeah.
But he just clocked my name, and he was like, mate, love you. Big fan of yours. I'm doing I do a comedy night in a town near us called Northenden, if you want to come. And I was like, yeah. So he got us a few free tickets. And we've just kind of been pals ever since then, really. And he started coming in my local a bit more than that. And when he said this idea to me about doing these prank calls, and I was like, fucking, that's amazing, man. Yeah, that's great. And the ringing in sick one, man, is just, like I say, it's just a stroke of genius, because it's something, what I think it was great about it is it's something so relatable. Like you know, we've all
made a prank call.
No. If you've had a job, like, you rang in sick, and it's like one of the fucking hardest things to do, because you're ringing sick and you're like, hello, yeah, I can't come in today.
Yeah.
Your boss is like, why not? And you're like, oh, I've got the runs.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing that voice for then, you idiot? Do you know what I mean? Little things like that. And he takes shit like that.
That's such a shit excuse, man. Yeah. I was saying this to Emily last night that, I mean, if you're calling in sick, I mean, the runs is such a shit excuse, man.
Think of something else.
I've got leprosy. I've got some brilliant stories that we would never ever be able to make onto this podcast, but I mean, some of the ones that a couple of my friends have come up with, you know, when we've been partying a bit,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like some of them are just fucking genius. But I mean, yeah, I mean, there's so much better excuses that you can come up with.
Oh yeah, 100%. But yeah, no, so he takes that idea and flips it on its head in the video. If you've not watched it, go and have a look. And he's done a few different ones now where he's trying to buy a car and stuff. But yeah, basically, go and give his videos a look. And the chat was really funny. You're about to listen to it in a couple of minutes. Sorry if you can hear my dog whinging there.
I thought it was
Shush Rudes.
I thought it was your daughter.
No, it's Rudy by the sound of it. Me Cavapoo. Yeah, Tim came round to my house early on a Thursday morning. And we actually, he was getting that much into the conversation, he actually missed a doctor's appointment.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
hope he's all right. I hope yeah. I hope he's listening to this.
Yeah.
I hope he's
he says he thinks
it.
He might be pregnant. So we're a bit worried about that.
But he is, like, because we were talking about Monty, and I said to you, like, you know, did you know he was like a stand-up comedian and stuff? And his stand-up routine, and again, if you ever get a chance to go and see Tim, I urge you to, because his stand-up routine is very, very good, man.
Mm.
Like, he talks a lot about the area that we're from, which obviously I find funny because I relate to it. But he also does talk quite a bit about his kids and that. And,
yeah.
And when he told us the subject,
I mean, this subject, yeah, it was when he said, "Oh, kids," he was like, "You've got two kids."
Yeah.
Of your own, yeah. they belong to you, they're yours.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, he's made a full-blown career
out of
impersonating kids. So, I mean, it was his idea, and what we do with our guests is we let them choose their subject, and we go along with it. And yeah, I think it was a brilliant chat.
It was, man, it was. And like I say, Tim's just, he's just fucking, line after line, like he's just absolutely hilarious. Anyway, we'll keep the intro short and sweet because, the interview did go on for quite a bit. But please, honestly, give it up for my mate, Tim Bradbury.
He's my mate now as well.
He's your mate now. He's our mate now.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the good thing about this.
Followed
podcast.
Me on Twitter this morning, so
did,
we're like best mates now. Yeah.
So he followed me on Twitter before you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Now episode, I just need that extra 70,000 or whatever you've got. Tiny Tim Bradbury.
Enjoy.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We are recording. We're here with sort of two guests, really. It's the first time we've had kind of two guests on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah.
But not really two guests on
the
show.
Are you referring to your wife that sat in the front room?
No, I'm referring to Tim.
Okay. All right.
And Tiny Tim.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Hey, hi, guys.
How are you doing? How's it going?
I'm all right.
Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no worries. When Andy said about getting you on, I was buzzing. So, you know, when you just sort of scrolling through your Facebook, and it's some of the videos are fucking brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Oh, we're allowed to swear?
Yeah, swear all you want. Yeah,
brilliant.
We literally swear all the time.
This is quality.
If you've clicked the link, we've got Tiny Tim Bradbury here, or Tim Bradbury as he's known by his parents. Obviously, viral sensation. YouTube star, would you say?
Yeah.
And stand-up comedian as well, aren't you?
Yeah, stand-up above everything else, because I'm proper funny.
I can vouch for that as well. I've seen his stand-up a fair few times. Tim's a local legend.
Whereabouts are you from? Are you from Withenshaw?
Yeah. Scum of the earth, mate.
I like Withenshaw.
I like it.
Salt. That's what I mean, yeah.
Me and my fiancée, Charlotte, spoke about, like, if we moved away, and one of the places that we said that we would move, well, I said, is Sheffield, but then I realised the only reason I like Sheffield so much is because I associate that with going out and getting smashed. And I thought, I can't move to a city just on the terms that I love going out and getting smashed.
Yeah, that's true.
But like Manchester, we love it here, but when we visit, you know, and Andy and his wife and all your friends have become our friends as well. So like,
Yeah.
We feel really comfortable here.
Happens a lot. Though.
Yeah, I love
you. You come to Manchester, you start robbing stuff.
Nicking friends, cars.
Happens.
Because you've been in our local, which is Tim's local as well.
Yeah, I love it in there.
It's a good night in the Fairbank.
Yeah, it's all right.
Shout out to the Fairbank, Simon, if you want to give us all free drinks upon hearing
this. You've got no chance.
As if he would. Mate, he's got to go skiing 4 times a year, so he's going to charge us, isn't
he? If you've clicked the link, it's clear what Tim's subject is, which when he told us, which was just last night, me and Tomo were a bit... We were fucking crazy, weren't we, to be fair?
Yeah, it's brilliant, it's amazing.
It's kids... Which is
mad. You can see his face now.
Because one, Tim has kids. And two, Tim makes a living impersonating a fucking kid. Yet he finds them underrated. So, yeah, take it for it.
Overrated.
Oh, shit. That's not the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Finds underrated everything. Underrated everything is a new podcast coming soon. Tim finds kids overrated.
Overrated.
Elaborate, mate.
I don't get the craze about wanting a kid. Like, I don't get it. My son's 18 and I love him. Of course. I love him. I don't want him to die or out like that. But I.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. Good. Yeah, it's nice.
That's evolution, that. That's Darwinian fucking. Like, that's all you don't want.
I love him. I do. He is my best mate, but. Would I feel like this if you want it?
Would you feel like what?
Would you feel like you're missing something?
No.
You wouldn't.
So, I mean, you won't miss what you've never had.
Your lad's 18.
Have you only got one?
No, I've got two.
You've got two kids.
So you had him quite young as well.
Yeah, right? I was 19.
So did you want kids then?
I didn't want kids then.
No?
No way, I don't want kids now.
I hope Kieran's not listening to this.
No, but I've got Gracie as well. Gracie.
How old's Grace?
Nine.
Yeah, she's got a 9-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Space
good,
out.
Good gap.
Yeah.
Space. I think it's important to have at least a couple of years. Otherwise, you're just like I know people who have got a kid who's my mum and dad did it. I mean, I've got a 32-year-old brother. No, a 31-year-old brother, a 30-year-old brother, a 29-year-old or a 28-year-old brother, and it's like, fucking hell, they must have literally popped it out and just got another one.
They didn't have a TV, did they?
Didn't have a TV. No. They went around in
broke for years.
It's just like
they literally had like 7 or 8 years of just raising babies and toddlers. Yeah. And then as soon as that had sort of, they were sort of 5 or 6, they had me again. So it's like, oh, you've got to start again now.
It's nice to have them close together, I guess, but then there is that, like, with you, like, so there's what, Kieran's 18, Grace is 9, so there's, like, good 8 years, yeah, I can't count, there's years between them.
There is.
Kieran was old enough when Gracie was born to
mind
her a little,
to move out, and he didn't.
Get out.
So.
But like, that's handy, I guess, like, he can watch her, he can't babysit her, but, you know, you could go make a brew knowing that you could leave Gracie in the living room in a Moses basket and yeah. Kaelin would be fine with that. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean?
It's so not paying though. That, you know what I mean? Well, that's how good young hustlers are bought like that. I remember when I was a kid, I used to find any way of making a couple of quid. I remember my mum used to spend a lot of time in the pub, which I loved being in the pub playing pool. But if there's any blokes talking to my mum, I was straight on it. I was like, yeah, if you want to chat my mum up, like, give me a fiver and I'll just go away and let you do it.
And I was just pimping
my mum out, yeah.
Oh, Sharon.
Yeah. No, but that, I was just always a way of, like, running around the pub trying to make a couple of quid. And even some young kid in the pub the other day, he was saying, oh, is any about 5 or 6? He was like, oh, I'm a good goalkeeper, I'll show you my dives. And I went, this is where you're going wrong, kid. You should be coming up to me and saying, I'm a good goalkeeper, I'll show you my best dive, but I want you to give me a quid.
Yeah,
and he did his dive, and I gave him a quid, and I was like, "You just made a pound that easy." Next thing, he was running around the pub doing it to everyone. He must have earned probably 10 quid.
Well, I mean, you famously fucking asked Shane Meadows for a fiver to audition for his film.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean?
I was
like,
always out to make.
Yeah,
make
good lad, good lad.
Just from a very young age.
I'm still thinking about you renting your mum out in a pub for a fiver because you'll go away.
Yeah, no touching. His
poor dad's at home with a broken telly.
A broken heart.
A broken heart and a broken TV.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Back in the 90s were grim, weren't they?
Yeah, Grimsby the ones, yeah. But no, I was like, you were just saying that kids should be natural-born hustlers, I think.
Yeah?
Do you reckon? And like I say, Kieran's he's been alive for 18 years, and would my life be any worse or better with him out of my life?
Has there been any restrictions to, has there ever been a time where you've gone, oh God, if I didn't have Kieran, we could have done that, or?
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. I love it.
It was getting up for school one day, and I think it got to year 8, and I stopped getting up. I stopped waking him up. I was like, well, if you're late for school, you're late for school now.
Oh, right, okay. That's a good life lesson then, isn't it? Because he's year 8, what's that, about 12?
12 or something.
You should know, you should be keeping your own
time
at 12.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But then I stopped taking him to school and that.
What do you mean, like
how far
like,
is your school?
Well,
wait, you stopped like driving him to school, or you like
taking him to school?
Oh, right, okay.
I didn't say right, you don't have to go to school anymore, because then the government said, well, if you don't take your kid to school, you're getting fined. So I was obligated to take him to school.
Oh, really? They got involved? What? To
you get fined for taking kids on holiday.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean. Oh, so you mean you stopped putting him in school, you didn't stop driving him to school?
I stopped driving to school, I was saying.
So he just stopped going on?
No, he went to school.
Ah, right, yeah.
Because I said, I don't want to be fined, so make sure you go to school. Do you know what I mean? And, oh yeah, and your education's important.
Yeah,
which
has
worked out well, because he's working in Morrison's. So he's smashed school. But I think, would I be any better, worse off now? I'd be a lot richer.
You're right, yeah, because raising kids is expensive.
I remember being in a family planning clinic years and years and years ago, and there was a girl there, obviously
pregnant,
and she was with a mate, and I swear to God, you know when you're overhearing a conversation?
Yeah.
This girl said, how far along are you now? They were friends.
Yeah.
How far along are you now? She went, oh, about five, 6 months, I think, she said. She went, oh, my God. And she went, yeah, not Norbert Lee thinks it's his.
Oh, my God.
And then she said, the other girl said, you're going to tell Lee? And she went, nah, but it's worth the £500 to drop the fucker.
Wow.
I've never seen £500 when my kids were, I'd have been a grand up if I knew about this. Where's this come from?
What do you mean £500?
Yeah,
you get 500 quid if...
For having, it's like having a bonus on a game when you're a kid.
If you have a baby, it's 500 quid.
What, like,
where from? What, the government give you 500 quid from the baby?
If you're signing on...
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
You're
so
not
if you,
working.
Yeah.
You get, like...
It's like a little starter bonus.
Ah, right, okay. Because you get, like, family allowance and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
we
get... Because we've got... me and my wife, we've got a little girl.
You told me she was 3 yesterday and she's 4.
I didn't tell you she was 3.
You did, didn't he? Did he say she was three?
My wife's watching from afar.
I think you should go out with older people.
Oh, my wife, yeah.
Bit young, mate.
my daughter turned four, like, 2 weeks ago, so sometimes I might say three. You know, it's like when you turn...
She's not three anymore.
It's like when you remember, like, when you were in school and you go back after... You know when you go back after Christmas and you still write the last year's
2018.
Date? It's kind of like that with your kid's age sometimes. You go, oh, she's three. Oh, no, sorry, she just turned... I do that with my age. I'm like, yeah, I'm 27. Mm. No, I'm not. I'm 28.
I'm 18. Always.
You're three, nearly six.
For some reason, when people ask me how old I am, I say 27, even though I'm 26.
Are you just putting a year
I'm
on?
I'm putting a year on.
It makes you more distinguished.
Yeah, I don't know why I do that.
Distinguished.
I'm actually 27.
Yeah. Just older.
Yeah.
You don't even look like 26.
I know, I'm like Benjamin Button, aren't I? Just
wow, weird. You're going in reverse.
God. Dead ugly kid, wasn't I? One of all my mates keep saying to me all the time, they go, looking like a fine wine you are. Like, you was ugly when you was a kid, but now, like, I suppose with filters and stuff, which is what we were saying just a minute ago, Tim, with filters and things like that, you can sort of go from a, like, a mild 4 out of 10 to a good strong 7.
I did a Q&A the other day, and they were asking about, like, obviously the film and that. And
I can't believe you're still clinging on to this.
Dickhead. And one of the questions was, did it feel weird to watch the scene of Sean and Smell kissing? You know, the whole, will you fuck my tits, Sean?
Yeah.
Did that feel weird to watch? And I was like, no, why? And they were like, well, he was a kid. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, he looks like a... Because you looked so much... How old were you on the film?
About 13, 14,
you looked about 9. Like, you did look young, man. You look like a baby. When I watch you back now, obviously.
Yeah.
Which I do every night, because I can't let go.
Let it go! Elsa. I did the same. I went to a Q&A for the BFI, and I'd not watched it for about 7 years, and maybe even more. And I watched it, and I was literally watching it like, wow. Like, yeah, I was like a baby.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, you literally, I remember just coming down once and it was like, oh, look, there's a bloke there who vaguely looks like that kid out of that film.
Yeah. But anyway, this isn't about us, is it?
Well, you know, Tim, just go, mate.
Take care. Us talking about us for 40 minutes.
So,
both of you's late.
Like, going back to what we were talking about, like, kids are expensive.
Ridiculous.
You hear... There's figures out there. I know the Simpsons famously put it in the titles. Did you know that? When Maggie Simpson, you know the titles of the Simpsons?
Right.
When they scan Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
On the till, it flashes up dead quick how much it costs to raise a child in America that year. Every season changes as well. So, like, if you go back to the first season in, like, 1989, it'll flash up and it's, like...
30 quid.
Yeah, 30 quid. Raise yourself. And obviously now it's probably extortionate, but... Yeah, man. Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
on the
fun little fact there for you. Yeah, but no, yeah. So kids.
Every day's a school day, isn't it?
But yeah, like, because obviously, like I say, our little girl's four, and
are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. And like, when the firstborn, it's not that bad because people want to help, don't they? Mm. Like parents and that buy you stuff and.
Yeah.
You know, things
like
that.
I can't wait till I have kids. My dad's going to go, nah, mate. Nah, it's your mess. You can fucking pay for it. You're not getting nothing from me. It's all right, Dad. I'm used to having nothing from you.
You never listening. You never fixed my fucking telly when you were a kid.
Yeah. No one helped me. That's what it's been. Nah, no one helped me. He's proper old school, my dad.
I'm used to having nothing off your dad. Yeah. You'll fit well in with him, Sean, mate.
No, because he knows his dad.
Just about. He claims he's my dad. I'm not.
Don't show off, mate.
All right, yeah. New kid's just moved in around the corner. He's got a daddy there, couldn't he?
But then, like you say, like they are expensive. Kind of at first, people help you out, and then you know, the thing that you need to do for the first 3 or 4 years is just feed them and that. Like plants, aren't they? You water them. You change them every now and then. You don't change plants.
So why don't you go and buy a plant? Do you know what I mean?
Less hassle.
Less hassle.
Absolutely. A bit of water.
Yeah.
Bit of sunshine.
Yeah, I'm in the perfect position. Like me and my fiance, we've been together now for eight and a half years. We've thought about kids and we've spoke about it, but we want to wait now. Like we're too selfish in our own ways. Like we love going on holiday, like going to Thailand for a couple of weeks, and then we love going away for the weekends. I work away a lot, so Charlotte can come with me, and we love going out a bit and just going to the cinema because we can't just sit at home. So we think that if we had kids,
because their telly's broke. Well, that's the last telly broke joke. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Not buying another one. Fuck off. We're just sort of setting our own selfish ways. But I said we're coming up to. I'm 26 now, not 27. And like it's probably another two or three years we're going to have them, otherwise it's going to be
It's going
to be a bit late.
See, that's the thing, you're saying that you're going to have kids.
I don't want to be sat when I'm old. I don't want to be on my own. I don't want to not have kids there. I don't want to not have people there who care about, because my mates are going to go off and it's slowly happening now. Like they're still really good mates and we love them to bits, but they sort of go off and do their own little things because they're raising their families.
But
then when you're older, like if I pass away, or touch wood, Char passes away.
What do you mean if? You got him.
Well, yeah, of course. But then one of us are going to be on our own. Sorry to break it. I don't like the idea of Charlotte sat on her own, or me sat on my own.
No.
Get a dog.
Dogs don't live that long, though.
Yeah, and they're fucking annoying dogs, aren't they?
No.
You've not got kids.
I was trying to watch telly last night.
You've not got kids.
Yeah. I was trying to watch telly last night and your two dogs were annoying me.
They were annoying.
But no, because they're not your dogs, you can't say, fucking get in the garden. You just got to deal with it.
So did you grow up wanting kids?
No.
When you were younger, are you from a big family?
No, there's me, my brother and two sisters.
So that's pretty big in today's standards, right?
Four
kids, yeah, like normally.
Yeah, but back in the day, we've only got a small family because you didn't get 500 quid a kid. Do you know what I mean?
There you go.
Did you get your starter bonus?
You didn't get your starter bonus. Do you know what I mean? But I grew up never really thinking, oh, I definitely want kids when I'm older.
Yeah.
I grew up thinking, I can't wait to spend money. on myself, and that is what's taken away now. That's what's lost.
What your own time?
Society has got you thinking. You've got to have a kid.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Facebook, because I'm completely like, I grew up, I always wanted to have kids from being a very very. I used to play with dolls. I'll admit that, like, on the podcast. So I grew up predominantly kind of girl cousins and a lot of female sort of influence around me. So I used to play with dolls when I was a kid, and I remember being young and, like, my mum had me quite young. She was 18 when she had me. And I always remembered, like, I want to have a kid when I'm 18. So for what you said, like, I was like, I want to... enjoyed the... And, yeah, because you were 19 when you had Kieran. So I enjoyed... I was 24 when Phoebe, I'm getting reassurance off my wife. I didn't have her. You had her, didn't you, babes? I just supported you through it.
She was in Sheffield getting pissed with me mostly. And that's not even a lie.
It is a lie.
it's genuinely not.
We were filming when Emily was ready to go
into labour. Just gonna have this Jaeger bomb and I'll come.
I made it home. Baby waited for me. I made it home. So I remember always thinking, I want a kid when I'm 18, because I've enjoyed the fact that my mum, as she's been a parent, she's been a very good parent, but she's also been a mate, and that's I put that down to the fact that there's only 18 years difference between me and my mum. You know what I mean? My mum was growing up while I was growing up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't imagine now having a kid at 24. I'm thankful that I didn't have a kid at 18, because I got to grow up, like you say, I got to grow up and do stuff that I couldn't have done. But then, I don't know, for me, man, like, I think, like, we were talking about this last night with Tomo when you told us your subject, and you were saying about you, and like you just said then, you know, you and Charlotte talk about having kids, but you want to do stuff before that, like travel and that. And I think, like, I get more excited now thinking about me, my wife, going travelling with our little one. Because yeah, I think, but God, I mean, imagine the things that she can see and
yeah,
do.
But if you go to Amsterdam, there's certain things she can't watch.
Yeah. I mean, there's places
with a
like
kid
that.
You can't go a ping pong show, innit?
But, you know, obviously, there's certain places.
Daddy, what's she doing for that ball?
But, no, but like.
Give me a fire and I'll tell you.
No, but like you say, there's certain, you know, like. We went on our honeymoon to America after we got married, and we did like a little tour of the States, and we debated at quite some length about taking Phoebe with us, our little girl with us.
On your honeymoon?
On our honeymoon, because we were like, we're going into America. Like, one of the places that we went was California. Mm. When me and Emily first got together, we went to Disney World, and we love Disney, and we said we'll go to the original Disneyland in California, like, as part of our honeymoon. And then we were like, well, we can't really go there without taking our little time. She was two. It was like, that's a bit tight, that.
See,
but then we were like, but then,
if you didn't have kids, you'd have just done that and not felt guilt.
Exactly. Yeah. But
how can you feel guilt from your own kids? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it is a strange thing. In the end, we read quite a few. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, in the end, we read quite a few sort of... We had like wedding magazines and stuff, and a lot of them were saying, look, it's you, if you've got kids and it's your honeymoon, like, it's the last time you're going to ever get time to spend just you two. Take it as that. Don't feel guilty. And, you know, we did. Mm. We made sure she went away with my mum on a little holiday and went and stayed with Emily's mum and that. So she had a nice little time anyway. And she was only two, so she wouldn't remember much of it. But it's yeah, you're right.
He said in a magazine that it's going to be the last time that you ever get to spend time to spend together, just you two.
On a holiday.
I don't know if that's... You can go,
on
a holiday still, I suppose.
I've always, like...
Says it in a magazine, babe, you can't go.
Yeah,
you can't go.
No, I mean, what do you think about that? Because, like, I always grew up, like, my mum was very against, like, if there was a family over the road who... The mum and dad went on holiday and left the kids. My mum would be like disgusted in them.
If they get into squeeze, if they can get another one in with the kid, I think that's all right. I think as parents, like you say, you're so sort of when you have kids, that's what your life becomes.
Mm.
So I think you are entitled to have even just 4 or 5 days if you want to fly to Spain.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you can get another week in with the kids, maybe not even abroad. You know, kids can still have fun if you take them to Cornwall or Skeggy.
We love
a, you know,
we love a Butlins.
Yeah, Butlins. Yeah, if you can get smitten with the kids as well, I think that's all right.
Havens
are good.
I went to for every year when I was a kid. I went to Pwllheli in Wales.
Oh yeah.
When it was a Butlins Pwllheli used to have a roller coaster there, and it's called the Boomerang. And my dad was saying, "Go on it," and I don't know, 9 or 10. And it was a proper upside downy, well eye, boomerang roller coaster.
Yeah.
So it went one way, and then
did it go backwards?
And it went backwards.
So was it one that went up like this? So it went up like that, and then it did a loop, and then went back up again.
And then backwards.
Yeah, I think they had that at Pleasure Island where I used to live. I didn't live at Pleasure Island. I still live.
You did, because the telly was broke. You keep walking into the telly trap.
Yeah. My dad was saying, go on it. We're not going to be back again. But then we went back.
Every year.
Yeah. Every time my dad would be saying, go on it. But I was young, do you know what I mean? And I remember going in it the first time and I cried.
Oh, wow.
I cried. So I didn't think they were going to let me off this ride. I hated it, but I didn't think they were going to let me off.
So you'd have to go again and
so
again.
I'd have to go again and again and again and again. And I thought my dad had said to the bloke who was operating it, will you just keep him on there while I go to the pub? I genuinely thought that's what was going to happen because I couldn't get off. I was screaming, Dad, trying to get the thing off me. I was screaming, crying. I could see my dad. He was like at the fence waiting for me to come off, and he was doubled over, crying, laughing. So then there was a little bit of me that thought, well, he's not gone pub. But then there was a little bit of me that thought, you bad prick, why are you laughing? I'm a kid trapped on a ride.
Maybe your subject stems back to
your maybe
parenting.
There's some deep.
So, thanks for this therapy lesson. This has been really helpful.
It's good to talk. Yeah, I'm going to have to leave.
Yeah. I need to go and have a word with my dad.
Just a cuddle. Just have a cuddle, Dad.
Did you eat me?
Did you leave me on that roller coaster to go to the pub to get Tomo's mum?
It's been 25 years. I know.
God, I genuinely I thought he hated me. And I thought, I'm the bane of his life. Do you know what I mean?
With things like that, because I... And if you haven't ever gone and seen Tim's stand-up live, you definitely should. He's hilarious. Most of your stand-up set is you talking about winding up your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that where that... Is that... Do you think your dad doing that to you, is that something that he's passed on?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it till now. I definitely need a chat with him. I just think, if you've got kids,
yeah,
then yeah, you should have fun with them.
100%.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You've got to... I hate these people that you go on Facebook and... You see,
moaning about the kids.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
really want to go out tonight, but I can't get a babysitter.
Yeah,
why have you even breeded? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, there's people that can't have kids.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got people that are just popping them out for 500 quid.
Yeah,
yeah.
And people who, like you say, who have them and don't take notice of them, yeah, and stuff like that. Like, I just don't understand that.
I've always said, as when I found out that Kieran was going to be born, I was horrible when I was a kid. I was in the wrong group. I was just a nasty piece of work.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Surprises me.
You wouldn't know now.
I mean, you are from Benchill. So, yeah. But I don't...
selling stuff.
Yeah. That's you not being able to walk around Benchill no more. That's all. Shit. There's that kid from that podcast. Get him.
I just think, if you've got a kid, then you should be the best person that you can be.
Yeah. You need to be a positive example.
You've got to be. Of course you have. But then I think, if I didn't have kids, would I just be an horrible, miserable person?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, because they do...
It took me to become a dad to change my life. So
that's nice.
So I can't say that I completely hate Kieran, because...
You don't, man. Like,
not
you say,
completely.
Yeah, you don't hate him.
yeah, I mean, go on.
I love him. I love
yeah, of
him.
Course.
I love him. Of course I love him. He's my best mate. Do you know what I mean? He's...
Yeah.
I think he does nothing. He doesn't pay rent.
He works at Morrison's.
He does work at Morrison's.
I bet he works damn hard.
And he doesn't pay rent. I don't get any child benefit. I don't get any family tax credit.
Does he tidy his own bedroom?
No.
Because I'm 26
He
now.
Serves no purpose to me now.
He's obsolete.
He's just there now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just an entity.
And as well as that, you're a little bit older than me. So you're of a generation, I guess, where, by the sounds of it as well, you turn 18, you get a job, you move out.
Yeah.
Because you could.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could go and move out and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't want to be left on a roller coaster by my dad. Sick of
tormented
it.
By dad. But, like, now, kids are the generation of your Kieran and that. Typically now live with the parents until, like, late 20s.
you know, even my... He's not going to go.
I've got mates that are, like, yeah, you know, near enough 30 that still live with the parents and
no.
stuff. And it's cool. Like,
absolutely. No.
Is that something that obviously worries you?
Yeah, of course it does. I know you were saying before that about, like, going in a home and not having anyone there. I'm in a home, my home, it's mine. I want it back to be mine, not a house share.
It's
yeah, because I suppose when you get to 18, 19, and I did it, you get to that point where you earn your money, you get home, and all you want to do is you want to be out on the piss.
Yeah.
And you're bringing beards back and that, and you're like my dad always used to say, Tomo, it's not a hotel.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
not the Ibis, you don't...
I am, I genuinely like, because my mum, I moved out properly about 21, so it's fairly young, 21, 22, but yeah, like 18, 19, 20, like I lived at my mum's and...
We had some obviously pies at your mum's,
we did, yeah. And I think, that's obviously, we've had... Yeah. I didn't really know you then. Obviously, with our...
trapped on a roller coaster.
With our job, like, we're away quite a lot, but then we're home a lot.
Yeah.
And, like...
Speak for yourself, I mean, I'm working, mate.
Well, yeah. I've not got a bloody biffer. But... You know, so like I'm, like you say, I literally used to sit on the settee all day, like playing Call of Duty and that. And I think, like, my dad used to kind of work like nights back then.
Mm.
And like, it was his house, like, he couldn't come and sit down in the living room and like watch telly because I was taking, but my kind of thing was my house as well. And like, looking back, like, now it's not. Like, I was living there rent free. Like, I was taking the piss, yeah. Really.
Well, Kieran don't pay rent, which I do definitely need to have that chat about.
Yeah.
But he's on a weekend, he'll say, can a couple of the lads come around?
Yeah.
So you think a couple, two, right?
Yeah.
And then he brings his class from school. They're all in.
Teacher as well.
Teacher and everything.
That weird one that stands out a bit.
Hello, Mr. Stevens. How's it going?
Mrs. Stevens.
Mrs. Stevens.
With a tash.
With a tash, yeah. But no, like you're saying, it's my house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If
but it's not yours.
I don't mind you having your mates round. I don't mind you having your mates round.
Yeah.
Clean up after yourself in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm getting up.
That's one thing that my dad always enforced to me is if you have people round, like, just clean up after yourself.
Mm.
And it's just about a respect thing, isn't it? But I think that'll come with age. Like, you sort of, you don't really have the respect that you should have for your parents because you're just hell-bent on thinking that they're just out to ruin your life.
Whereas
not, they're out for your best interest, i.e. paying rent to get you ready for real life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cleaning up after yourself. So when you
yeah.
move in, you don't live like my fiance Charlotte, who never ever tidies up. Ever, ever.
It's...
Move out.
Charlotte,
seriously,
he'll be paying rent.
I'm going to have a spare room in about an hour. So
she wants to move to Wimbledon.
Yeah,
I'm going to go and have a chat with the lad.
No, because again, like, an important thing with that is, like, because we found it recently, like I say, our little girl's just started nursery the past sort of,
and
like,
she's now paying rent.
No, but like, you you're earning, you're working now technically. sell your drawings, don't bring them home.
Yeah.
Sell them,
be an artist.
Yeah. But no, like, I genuinely, like, never really thought over the past 3 years that having a child has changed my life, like, what, day to day massively.
Mm.
But then her going to nursery 5 days a week, 6 hours a day now, I've got time back.
Yeah.
I'm sat doing stuff and, like, it's mint. Like,
it's
nice. It's like, wow, I can, you know, because when they're that young and stuff, and obviously, like, again, we're lucky enough to spend quite a lot of time. I'm lucky enough to spend quite a lot of time with my kid.
Mm.
You'll be the same, I guess, and you're the same now. In our careers, that we have quite a lot of time to do what we want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I spend a lot of time with her, and it's mint. I love it, but I'm also now enjoying having, like, my kind of time off.
Mm.
I think for the first few years,
nice.
They are very time consuming, aren't they?
Very, very.
Yeah, yeah.
And your house just stinks of poo. Because you're forever changing nappies.
Yeah, there's that period as well, isn't there, where, like, it's just
see, this
pooing.
It's either,
like,
it's either sick or poo.
Yeah, there's a lot
snot,
of that.
I can't deal with snot. I can deal with poo. Not got a problem with that. But snot,
yeah,
it just
funky,
needs to stay where it is. Stay in the nose, you know what I mean?
And no, I don't think that's one thing for me, like, nappies and that. I don't think I can...
Right, you know when you...
Deal
you know
you
when
get,
you
get
I mean, it's
used to it
when
very
I've had
quickly.
A big night out and I've got to change my own nappies.
Well, you know when you go to the toilet and you've not got enough toilet roll and you're wiping your bum and your finger slips through?
Oh.
That's happened to all of us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's never happened to me, that.
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God, I tell you, I promise you.
I bet it's happened to Emily, right? Yeah, she's nodding. So what I'm saying is, that's happened, do you know what I mean? Your fingers go through the toilet, you're thinking, that's it, my life's over. When you've got a kid... And you're wiping its bum, and it's just full of poo.
Oh, is it one of them? Like,
and you get a baby wipe, and you're wiping its bum, and your knuckle just grazes through
a
bit of poo. Right?
Hanging.
I don't like it when it happens to me, so why am I going to put up with it while I'm wiping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
basically, it's another human's bum, right? Yeah, whichever way you put it, you're wiping another human's bum.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't sign up for that. Not at all.
See, I... Go on. I love... I've got nieces and nephews and a small brother. I say small. He's nearly as tall as me. He's 5, I think. And it's perfect when we can pick him up. Like, I picked them all up. I've got my niece... Taylor, my nephew Mason, and my little brother Zach, and we take them swimming, and whenever something goes wrong, I can I finished now. You can just have them back.
Yeah, that's nice. I love having other people's children over. I don't mean that to sound proper weird. I mean like family. I don't mean someone walking
just
past.
Anyone. Yeah. Excuse me, can I borrow that small child, that small human you've got there?
While you're going to the shop, drop them in.
I've got sweets.
I've got puppies in the boot. I don't mind having other like me nephews and my nieces. I don't mind because I can always give them back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not a problem. But when you've got where. 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, kill me.
We were quite lucky. We didn't have a lot of that. First 2 weeks, Phoebe was a bit cryy.
If I could guarantee that I wouldn't have a proper whingy baby,
yeah,
sign me up all day, definitely. But it's the noise that goes through me.
I've just been speaking to Andy's wife. There's a series on at the minute called The Cry. And I've only watched the first episode, but it's basically like the woman texts the man and the woman, they've got a newborn baby, it's probably a couple of months, and they fly over to Australia with a newborn, and for 20 hours it's crying. And we were saying, like, people on the flight start getting pissy with her, and it's like, at the end of the day, you can't help it. But then I'd be one of them that I'd sit there and I'd think it. I'd think, fucking shut up. I'd never make it down on me. What did you say?
I wish this wind would go down.
Yeah, but it's one of them that you'd never let it know. But
pay the pilot to let me just sit in his room for 20 hours.
Yeah, his cockpit room.
Let me in. Now it's going to happen, mate.
Like you say, I've been there, not as far as Australia and that, and taking our little one on holiday, and I'm sure you've probably done it yourself, and you do feel... Or when you go somewhere and they're crying, like a supermarket.
Yeah.
You know when you're in a supermarket and you see like a kid being dead whingy.
Yeah.
And you see the parents like, shut up. And you think, bloody hell. Mm.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like I've been there before. Like we're quite, you know, with Phoebe, like we shout, but we try and kind of teach her right from wrong and stuff like that. And, you know, we're quite liberal with her and stuff. But, you know, sometimes like when... constantly whinging, like just be quiet, stop whinging, please. Do you know what I mean? And you can see why some parents will, you know, lose the
right.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
see,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know how you prevent that?
Go on.
Don't have kids. If
Jurex want to sponsor this episode, then that would be amazing.
And this is brought to you by Trojan.
Extra small, obviously, like, for all three of us.
3 feet up.
I'm Muffus.
We're about half an hour probably submitting, and he's done it. There we go.
I'm not saying that I hate my kids. I'm not saying that at all. No. But all this anger that I've got for them could have been prevented.
Because a lot, like, we nearly touched on it earlier, like, a lot of, there's a lot of sort of posts out there and stuff in the media now about people who openly don't want children getting immediately judged. Like, it's a bad thing. And, you know, I personally, on a personal level, because like I say, I've always wanted kids, I cannot understand how some people just don't want kids. It's weird. It's so alien to me that you wouldn't want to procreate. You wouldn't want to see a little bit of yourself in another human and, you know, experience the joys of raising a family and stuff like that. So alien to me. But I'd never judge anyone for not doing it. Fair do. We live in a world that's fucking massively overpopulated as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do get that. And it's like you were saying, being in a supermarket and you're shouting at your kids. It's that's just some people's behaviour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It might not be a kid. You might be walking your dog and your dog runs off and you're shouting at it. Do you know what I mean? That's some people's behaviour. I remember being in, and you were saying a supermarket. I remember being in a supermarket and Kieran was being proper whinger. I've never had to shout.
Yeah, yeah, same, really. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Never, but like you, I'd never judge someone for shouting at a kid. If they hit them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I grew up in a generation of, you know, like my gran had a fucking good shot with a slipper. Oh, God, she should have gone on bullseye. She'd have got the speedboat. Like, honestly. She
wouldn't have won it because the slipper wouldn't stick in the board.
Yeah. Couldn't throw darts, yeah, good slippers. But no, but like, you know, like I'm just like that kind of, hopefully the last generation where, you know, you get a clout off your gran or you know, off your mum, they had time and that. But, Did it teach you
like
from
where they're old and fragile?
Yeah,
and in the old people's home, you walk in with a slipper, go, ah, remember this? Yeah. 45 years ago,
I've got you now.
Yeah,
but like, you know,
vulnerable now.
Come on, Doris. Yeah.
It's like when you knew you were going to get told off.
Yeah,
and you get in from playing out. You say you smashed a window in the greenhouse.
Yeah,
go out for 3 weeks, and then when you when you go out, you've done something wrong, you know you're going to come home, you're going to get shouted at.
Yeah,
gone are the days where your dad would be shouting at you and gradually he's taking off his belt.
See, I never had that, but my dad had that, and that's terrifying, isn't it? But like,
God,
did it?
Like, I remember being in school and having a blackboard rubber thrown at me.
Jesus,
you can't have that now.
No, not at all. And rightly so, man. Like, it is wrong. Did it teach us right from wrong? Probably.
Definitely. Yeah, you'll only do it once if you get a smack around the ear off.
You might only have to do it once and it's an instant teaching right from wrong. Does it teach right from wrong? Yes, probably. But is me sitting down and having a word with like my daughter do the same thing? Yeah.
I think we live in a day and age where
it might take
a
few times. You know what I mean? Don't do that. She'll do it again. Yeah. Don't do that. And you know what I do? I'll take her to one side and I'll explain to her why
we live in a generation now where you've got to teach kids from a very young age respect. And that's something that I've always checked people how I want to be treated from a young age.
Yeah.
And I think even when I'm with my little brother, like if he's kicking off, I just take him aside and I go, look, mate, I said, you can't just do that. Like, it don't work like that. Whether your mummy might let you get away or whatever, when you're with me, you kick off all you want.
Yeah.
I'll just give you a dead leg. I don't mind.
Yeah. I get it, like, when my nephew comes round, my nephew Luca, I love him, but people don't know.
So you love him, but not your own kids?
No, I do love my kids. Can we start again? I do love my kids, but when my nephew Luca comes round, I love him. We have such a laugh. He's like another one of my best mates.
Yeah.
But he can go back to his mum, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when he's at mine, you're at my house, my rules.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if I'm cooking tea and your mum said you need tea,
yeah,
you're eating what we're eating.
Yeah,
I'm not going to make a separate meal.
Yeah. I can't get down with that. Yeah, yeah. My little nephew does the same. No, my sister will go. Oh,
my mummy said.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but guess what, mate?
Mummy's still here. Yeah, but my sister. Oh,
get in that cupboard.
He won't eat that. He does it.
Yeah.
Or we won't. He'll go mad if you give him a pink plate. I've only got pink
it's
plates.
It's kids testing patience. That's what it is.
Zach
does it. I've been round my little brother. I've been round at my stepmom's with him, and he will push her to. But you know, she'll never lose a rag. She did a great job of raising me from a young age and Zach. But when he's round at my house, he knows for a fact. If I say to him, you're not having your iPad before you go to bed, mate. I said, you can have 20 minutes on your iPad here. We'll chill. Then we'll go upstairs, you brush your tooth, and then you can get into bed.
Brush your tooth.
Just the one.
Is that running the family?
Yeah, just from me, yeah.
He's going to fit well in with you, sure, as well. Just the one tooth.
But, yeah, he'll do as he's told, and he'll get in bed. And, you know, he's mardy about it, he's miserable about it, but he just, he'll do it.
That's it. If you're told to do something, you do it.
It's patience as well, like, going back to like my little sister,
like her little boy, he's sort of 6 months or thereby, 5-6 months older than Phoebe.
Mm.
And like he's quite a mardy boy, and like he won't sleep in his own bed. He still has a dummy. Little things like that. And my little sister sometimes will go, "Oh, Phoebe's dead good." And I'm like, it's because we've persevered through stuff where you've give up because it's easier. So like, you know, he won't sleep in his own bed because, you know, she'll put him in his own bed and he'll cry to come out and she'll go, "Right, get in my bed."
Yeah.
Me and my wife have sat there and it's horrible, man. You have to sit there and put your little girl or boy to bed, and for about a week or two, listen to them cry and want to get in with you. And you have to it's horrible. It's like controlled crying, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's like, it's horrible while you're doing it. And there's times where like I've nearly given up and gone in, and my wife's nearly given up and gone in. But I'm so glad that we didn't now, because it's like our little girl.
So, I said last night to you, didn't I? I said to you that she's so well behaved. Like she, when I got here, she was excited. She'd not seen me for a while.
Mm.
She was playing and having
she's a big
of
fan.
Fun. She's a big fan. You know, she's seen Kingsman, so she's no, but she was dead excitable. But then as soon as Andy said right bedtime, she just give me a cuddle and just went straight to bed.
Exactly, and that's mint. And that's because what you see there is hard work.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, going back to what you're saying, because this is
it's like training a puppy in a way, isn't it?
It
is. It's exactly the same thing.
It's more expensive.
And don't leave, like, piss mats all around the house. but it is, like, and, you know, I wanted to come to this as well, like, with having kids. We've done things with her from an early age, like we've took her to like swimming classes, and things like that, and that's installed in, like, since she was like, I think we started her swimming classes when she was about 3 months, something like that.
Yeah.
Getting confirmation again, yeah. Mm. And that's fine, mate. And we started swimming classes with her at about 3 months, so she's grown up literally every Thursday, going to somewhere where she's getting instructions and she's following instructions, and it's kind of, I believe she's really smart, my little girl, as well. Like, she's just dead clever. Mm. And I think that's why. What I was going to bring that anyway, it went off on a little tangent, but where I was going to bring that is, you know, having kids allows you to do stuff that you couldn't do without them, which I think is worth having for as well. So, like, you know, again, we go swimming every week. Yeah. Never go swimming every week as a grown-up.
I go swimming, like, every other day.
You're dead into stuff like that, though, aren't you? Like, but you go to the gym. So you go to the gym and work out, and that. Like, we go and, like, play in the pool.
Yeah, of course.
We'll go and watch, Disney film at the pictures, where you'd look a bit weird.
Me and Charlotte go to, like, that sort of thing. I watched Beauty and the Beast in London on my own. The new Beauty and the Beast, which is a Disney film.
Oh, did you?
Mm.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know...
But you, I know what
you're
saying.
Going on holidays, like, you know... idea of fun changes.
Yeah, like you might enjoy going to the pub and going to the clubs with your mates, and that's like, wow, that's brilliant. Yeah. Whereas now you're going to this swimming with your daughter, and you're going to the cinema, and that's to you, you'll get in bed and think the same. But I've really enjoyed last night. Or, you know,
yeah, it's nice. Like, we'll even, you know, we're going to have a walk around the Trafford Centre sometimes and just take her to the Disney shop and see her little face light up as she looks at, like, Woody and Buzz and all that, and it's
can't afford
nice.
It. Walk away, walk away.
Just window shop. We're trying to learn what window.
This is
shopping.
A Disney store, but let's go to Smith's. Yeah. Smith's toy store.
Which
can also
a lot cheaper.
I'll get someone to rob you it.
Smith's can also sponsor the show if you like. But do you know what I mean? Like, did you find that with your little ones growing up? Like, did you get to then go, you know, put them on a roller coaster and watch them scream and that? Like.
I remember taking Kieran on his first ever roller coaster, which was the Big Dipper at Blackpool.
What a ride.
But you know the bar that comes down?
Yeah.
Because I'm sat next to him, it stopped at my thighs. So he could just get out. So I had to hold him in. I don't even think for one second that there was 1 minute that I thought, I'm going to let go of it. When we were going down the steep bit, I thought... I'd just say it was an accident. I'm
glad you're not my dad.
Absolutely, it was dead nice to see him have a laugh.
You get enjoyment from their enjoyment.
Yeah, of course,
but
I couldn't have done that with my nephew.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I don't the whole stigma of you've got to have kids. That's what I don't get.
Yeah, going back to that also before, like I think society is changing now where it's getting more understandable that people don't want to have kids, because there's a lot of debate now where some women and indeed men want to get sterilized. Right. I think there was a big thing in the media a couple of years ago where this girl had been told no by a doctor. This woman had been told no, like, we can't do that because you might change your mind. You're only in your 20s, and by the time you get to your 30s or 40s, you might want children. So no, fair or unfair?
Unfair. It's
their choice.
You can't play God with someone else's life.
100%. Yeah, it's their choice.
It's their decision.
But in a way, it's almost thoughtful. In a way, like,
yeah, because I know
you're taking away an option.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
if she's
walked
in and said, I don't ever want kids, and he's gone, well, yeah, but you might.
Yeah, because things change.
If she's set in her ways that she never ever wants a child, and he says, well, I'm not going to do an operation just in case.
Yeah.
No. If she wants it doing,
it's her right to do it. Yeah, 100%. And if a man wants going, but I fully up for that. I fully believe that. But then I have got friends, like I've got a mate who all my life knowing him as a youngster and that always said he doesn't want children. I've got two mates actually who've always said kids just aren't for them. They don't want kids, don't want them. One of them's got a little girl now and he absolutely loves her. He's such a good dad. He dotes on her. The other one is nearing 30, is settling down with a girl and they're talking about it now.
Right.
Had they made that is it irreversible for men? I don't know.
You can reverse it for men.
Do you know what I mean? Had they been women and had made that decision back then, would they regret it? But then I guess it's like anything in life.
You've got to
make decisions,
I think I agree with the doctor, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, you agree with the doctor?
I think so, yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
People do change their mind. And I think there is ways now you can get the... Is it the implant? Is it an implant?
Yeah.
Again, we're all looking to your wife. So much new. It's like an implant you can get in there where it stops you from getting pregnant.
Yeah,
for like 3 years.
So just get that for 3 years and then see how you feel in another 3 years.
I mean, as well as that, though, there's, you know... As I said earlier, you know, we live in a world now that's like vastly, vastly overpopulated. There's something like 10 million orphans born a year.
There's 1.5 billion people in China.
If you make that decision, I think you need you change your mind. You know, look at adoption. There's other ways of having a child that is better for the world as a whole. Yeah, and the environment is better than the environment. I've always said to my wife, like, I'd absolutely love to have, say, you know, two kids of our own, and then as they're slightly older, I'd love to adopt a kid because I just think it's like the most.
How do you feel about that?
We've discussed it a little bit, haven't we, in the past? She's not. She's sort of smiling. But my wife works with kids, so she loves kids as well, don't you, babe?
Just pinch one from there.
Just
take one.
So, you know, that's an option. Adoption. It rhymes as well, so it's worth doing.
If you dealt it.
Bringing it back then, obviously... You know, your subject, this is point two of why we were laughing at your subject. Point one was that you had kids.
Yeah.
Point two of us laughing at the fact that you chose this subject was you have now made a career out of impersonating a fucking kid.
Yeah.
Like, so...
By accident.
Yeah, so how did Tiny Tim come about?
Yeah, this is... We don't normally do this on podcasts, but I'm genuinely interested,
I
don't care what the listeners
want. I guess... We were saying this last night when we were like, you know, we don't want this podcast to be about people's careers or why you got into acting or dancing or singing or whatever you do, you know. But for us, and I guess for a lot of people listening, the idea... of a YouTuber or a viral star is so fresh and so new. It's like someone said to, because I do a little bit of work for Unilab, and when I first started there, like, I just couldn't understand it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What, you know, I don't get it. But someone said to me, like, YouTubers are the rock stars now of the age. Like, if you look at the 60s, you had the Beatles, like, people like, oh, rock music. Oh, no, but kids loved it. Yeah. Teenagers, and they jumped on it. And it's happening now with YouTubers like yourself.
YouTube is... I fell into it.
Yeah?
I'll start from the beginning. I fell into... I've always been able to do the voice.
Yeah.
Always been able to do the voice. And when Kieran was a baby, it'd be in his bouncer, just watching telly. And then I'd be like, Kieran. And he'd be looking about, looking for his dad's voice. I'd laughing his head off. I go, Kieran, he'd be looking about, and then I'd just go, Kieran! And the shock on his face, he'd be like, what the hell is that? Like he's hearing voices, do you know what I mean? I won't go, no, I'm only joking, it's only me. But that happened every day for years, yeah. Years and years, and he'd get a bit older, be like, Kieran! He'd be like, it's weird. And then, like, when he started school, they'd be like, see you later, Kieran.
Bye, Kieran.
And he'd be looking about as if he was proper hearing voices. Do you know what I mean? And then, as he got a bit older, he'd be like, Kieran. He'd go,
Kieran.
He'd go, oh, Dad, is that you? It's not me, mate. It's not me. And then he got a bit older, he'd be like,
Kieran.
Dad, it's definitely you. I can see your mouth moving. It's not me, mate. It's not me. So for years and years and years, I had him convinced that he was... Hearing voices.
Oh, poor kid.
It's fucking brilliant.
So
you shouldn't breed.
I know!
Well, he got 500
That's why I'm
pounds.
Here.
I got 500 quid for him. So when he's gone into school, I'm like,
Kieran.
He doesn't know if it's me or not. I should have told the school that he's not actually hearing voices. I should have told him. Definitely should have told him. But it was worth the 6 years.
It's been sectioned now.
It was worth the 6 years of psychological profiling. Do you know what I mean? Give him something to do. It's cheaper than swimming. The school pay for it. Do you know what I mean? But as we got older, obviously he knew it was me. He realised it was me. And then about 10 years ago, I started doing stand-up comedy. I had no material at all. Didn't know how to write. I didn't know what was... And I just thought, I'm going to do it. So we went to the Frog and Bucket and we watched a show, and all my mates were saying, oh, because I'm pretty funny. And all my mates were saying, oh, I bet you can do stand-up. So as a bet, I said, yeah, I bet I will. Anyway, a couple of weeks after I started, I rang the Frog and Bucket and said, can I do a stand-up? And do a show. And they were like, yeah, you can do 5 minutes. Anyway, I invited all my mates. We went and did it. I got on stage with nothing. Absolutely nothing. I just did the voice.
Yeah.
How did it go down?
Really well.
Did it?
Yeah. Beat the Frog. It's competition, Beat the Frog.
Yeah.
Did it, and I was like...
You have to...
What? So what did you... Was you just telling stories about...
Just, yeah.
Just that story that you just told?
Just, I was... At the time, I was talking about being in the army,
yeah,
which I hated. Went AWOL.
Oh yeah, he was in the army.
Yeah, I went AWOL after about 4 months, 5 months or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just went on stage talking about being in the army, but with that voice.
I'm gonna shoot people.
And that's all it was. And then I got the taste for comedy. Then I thought it's a bit easy. And then did it again. And
that's
again
the
and
thing.
Again
if you find someone that you, when you finish work after that, and you go, "Well, that was easy," like that's when I think you know you've found something that you're supposed to do.
And I loved it. I got bitten by the comedy bug, and I encourage anyone who wants to do comedy to go and do comedy.
Yeah,
you've got to do it.
It's like anything. Like,
you've got to do it.
If you think you might be good at something, like I think you should go and try it. Like,
the only
person that's stopping you from doing something that you want to do is yourself.
Of course it is.
Do you know what I mean? You should just go and do it. Like, I never thought I'd be an actor when Shane was auditioning for this thing, and I went and did it, and lo and behold, it's just only yourself that's stopping you, innit?
But you thought you were just going to get that fiver, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what I was,
if you don't want to be the person that says what if,
Yeah, exactly.
You want to be the person that said I did.
I don't want to be on my deathbed going, oh, fuck, I should have done that.
Yeah.
Why didn't I do that? And I'm just, I mean, I've had this chat with you in the past. Like, I grew up, I always wanted to be a stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did. I kick myself all the time for not doing it. Because I think I could, like, I genuinely think I could, because I write comedy anyway. That's, like, my job at Unilab, pretty much. You know, you can adapt sort of scripted stuff to stand up and that quite easily and stuff.
But you've got so much you can work with.
Exactly. I think I did a course when I was, like, 19. We were talking about this the other day, and I was, like, I did this course when I was, like, 18, 19. It was just before we filmed 86. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'll do it, like, whatever. I just didn't have that much to write about. But now, through having things like having children and stuff like that, like through living life, there's experience, you know.
Yeah.
I sat down a couple of months ago to write stuff and a lot of the stuff that I wrote was like about a trip to Amsterdam that I had with my wife a year ago. So, you know, little things that you do in your life, it stems from that. And like you say, the character created stems from having kids.
Well, the voice, that's just always been something I could do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When I did the Frog and Bucket, I think everyone's career has started at the Frog and Bucket or the Comedy Store. One of them too.
Yeah. As a Northern comedian, definitely. As a Northern,
even if you're, no matter where you
are. Right.
Because you've got the Comedy Store of London, Comedy Store of Manchester. Course, they do something called King Gong. Brutal. But the Frog and Bucket do something similar.
That's Beat the Frog.
Beat the Frog on a Monday. I think that's where everyone's.
So that's where you've got to, because I've been to one of them, it's where you've got to get on stage, three people in the audience have a gong or...
Like a card.
A card.
If three cards go up...
You get off.
You get kicked off.
So basically people that... So you've got 5 minutes, people might get up and last a minute, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, and they already gone. It's boring. It's
like, it's boring, you get off. So it's good guess, a good way to learn.
It is, and it's a massive learning curve, and, you know, once you've Beat the Frog, you do get that, oh my god, I can do this.
Yeah.
So you find other venues, you start speaking to other comedians, you get introduced to other promoters, you start doing more shows, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember doing, I think it was my third ever gig, I did a gig at the Circle Club in town, it's not there anymore, but it was called No Smoking Comedy Zone, because this was back in the day when you could smoke in pubs.
Yeah.
And I did a gig at the No Smoking Comedy Zone. Again, I didn't have any material. Just went on, told a joke, just fell on deaf ears. And then I started doing the voice, and there was two girls in the front row, sat on the leather couch, did the voice, and they were wetting themselves. And I was like,
it's a good job that's leather. You can just wipe it clean.
Do you know what I mean? And that just got a massive, massive
reaction.
It's great. And then, so, because I first, before I met you, I first heard of you through my wife playing
what
me,
have you been telling
look playing me on Facebook
playing me YouTube videos from, like, this was what, 6-7 years ago, playing me YouTube videos of Tiny Tim from when you used to do it on the radio on Key 103.
Yeah, I got picked up at that No Smoking Comedy Zone. Justin Morehouse was there.
Yeah,
he's come backstage, he's gone, where the hell have you been?
Oh, like, sick.
What do you mean? He went, that voice is unreal. Come to the studio in the morning. We'll see what we can do. Anyway, he just started doing
prank calls.
It's literally like, that's what I find so amazing. Like, you can just be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, definitely.
If I never walked around that corner that day and saw all these castings going on, we won't be sat here.
Yeah.
If you never did that gig and is it Justin Morehouse?
Justin Morehouse.
Yeah, if he went there, you know, it's amazing how that one decision could have just completely changed your life.
If you
turned around and said, oh, I'm not going tonight, I'm just going to chill.
Yeah.
That might not have happened. Do you know what I mean?
You've got to put yourself in opportunities where it may happen. Because if there's an opportunity where it may happen, there's an opportunity that it can happen.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you've got to put yourself in the firing line.
Yeah.
For that to hit you and get the opportunity there.
And there is times where you think, there is times where you think, oh, I'm not good enough, or it might not happen, it's not going to, don't happen to people like me. You know what I mean? I grew up thinking that, and when they said to me, like, oh, you know, we're casting for this film. I was like, you're casting for, as if I'm going to be putting a
yeah,
film.
Yeah, yeah,
which
doubting.
Is why I turned around and said, well, if you're having my time, then I want some money for this.
Yeah.
Like, because you're not going to, don't happen to people like me, which is what I grew up thinking. And now, like, I've recently just been, I was on the casting team for a short film locally in Grimsby. And there was loads of kids there, and they was all saying the same, like,
yeah.
It don't happen. But I was saying to them, like, I'm so glad that you've come.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't get chosen for this, if you get the taste of it, you can then go to other drama classes and any other casting things that might come along.
Yeah.
And there will be something out there that you write for. Do you know what I mean?
There's
always something.
Always something always. For someone. Whatever it is, there's something.
Mm.
Always. When I went to Key 103 to do a couple of recordings, I was sat... Do you remember Travis McCoy?
Yeah.
Jim Passero.
Yeah.
Sat next to him.
Oh, right.
I never thought I'd meet him.
No.
Do you know what I mean? What a tower of a man he was.
Really?
Oh, what a...
Tall-wise, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, big one.
Wow. What do you say to someone that you never thought... I went, oh, love your work.
Yeah.
I've heard one song, mate. that everyone else, love your work.
Massive fan.
Yeah. Big fan.
Follow you all over.
Yeah, yeah. I shouldn't be here.
I shouldn't be here, but
yeah.
I am.
Yeah, it's a great, it is a mad feeling, because I'm similar to both of you, really. Like, me and Tim come from the same town.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Tom, you're from quite a similar sort of town and that. And, like, you think, oh, that's never going to happen to me. Like, there was a lad in my school who, about 5 years or so above, and he was in a film, Lewis McKenzie, Jimmy Grimble, wasn't it? And, like, I remember looking at him going, oh, it's happened to him, so it's never going to happen to anyone else from round here. But, you know, like you say, put yourself out there,
places. If you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
One thing, like, obviously, you know, what's different about how you've done it as well is literally putting yourself out there. Like, you know, like get creative, make your own video. Because I remember, like I say, Emily, my wife, had shown me the videos that you'd done back in the day and you put them on YouTube and that.
Yeah.
And I remember having a chat with you in the pub. And you were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to start doing, like, videos again and that, like, with the voice. And I was like, that's mint, man. That's a fucking great idea.
Yeah.
And then you told me about, yeah, I'm thinking of, like, ringing in sick for school. And I was like, that will absolutely break the internet. And it did. It was such a genius idea. Like,
I wanted more work out of comedy.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, thousands of comedians.
Yeah. It's a big, big overfilled pond.
All trying to do the same job in the same venues.
Yeah.
It's difficult, so I said to my missus, I'm gonna do a tiny Tim call. I'm gonna ring in sick at school, see how it goes. If it gets 1,000 views, I'm absolutely.
It's 1,000 more people who.
If a promoter sees it and goes, yeah, that's pretty funny, let's book him.
Yeah.
Then that's the job done. Mm. That's my aim, just to get out and try and get more work. Anyway, we did the video. Edited it. It was such an amateur. It's still dead amateur.
But that's why. That's what's about it.
So
you know?
Good.
And when I edited it, because what you see is 7 minutes of just absolute pure genius by myself. Of course it is. What you don't see is the other 43 minutes where social services and the police got involved.
Oh my God.
I didn't 141 the number. So I've got people that I didn't want knocking on my door.
Yeah.
I've got police looking in the house because they were saying that there's a mistreated child with a mum upstairs. I never said that my mum's asleep. I just said my mum's in bed, the lazy pig. They thought she was dead. Do you know what I mean? So I had to edit it out for legal reasons.
Yeah, of course.
But when we put it on, I was going out for drinks that night in Old Drinkham. Put the call on, put the video on Facebook, and thought if it gets 1,000 views, it'd be crazy. My phone didn't stop lighting up.
Really?
Just didn't stop. I went out, I was on 100%. By an hour later, I think it was on like 12%. My phone just didn't turn off.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've had drinks. Got
you put your fucking phone down, Tim?
No, I put it in her bag because it was just lighting up. Got home, you know when you get up the morning after the night before, you go for a poo, you get your phone out, you're having a look, and we were on 53,000 views.
Jesus.
It was about 8-9 hours after put the video on.
Wow.
And honest to God, it was 24 hours after, exactly 24 hours after, it was on 1.3 million views.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
From a like you say, like a page that, you know, how many followers did you have?
We had about 300
and
round
then
figures.
How many have you got now?
1.9.
Jesus. Like, it's crazy.
I was going to say, what, 1,000?
No, I mean, that's madness. And long may it continue, man, because it's such a mad concept. Like, really, isn't it? Like,
but
you make videos, you put them online, and you make a living.
It's something that you found that you're good at, and you've just shared it with people, and people enjoy it, so...
But I'm in an industry that I've got no idea about.
That's mate, that's living. What makes it so fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, got a challenge, this podcast, like, we're learning every day.
Yeah.
This might sound shit.
I was with Rob Brydon. I'll just get that name that I've just dropped. But I was working with Rob, and he's been in the industry years, and he's a novice, and he's the master of the trade. He's brilliant with his impressions. But he said to me, he said, I'm not at my full capability yet.
No.
He said, I'm working. He just worked with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, and he was like, exactly what my dad said to me. My dad said to me, when you're working with people like Rob Brydon, he said, sit back. Don't be gobby. Don't do this. Just sit back and watch, and you'll learn so much.
Yeah.
And Rob said exactly the same to me.
Yeah.
That when he was working with the likes of Will Ferrell, he was just taking it all in. And he said, till my last day of working, I will always be learning, which is what's so exciting about our job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We play a lot of charity football as well.
Yeah, we play.
Met some amazing people. I'm friends with a lot of them now.
Yeah.
Most of the Hollyoaks cast and... you know,
they're all fit in Hollyoaks as well, aren't they?
Fit.
Why are they all so fit?
Oh,
I'd never make it Hollyoaks. I'm like Emmerdale, I'm ugly, so I'd be Emmerdale. Yeah.
In the field, eating grass.
Yeah. All right, fuck off.
But that's like I was saying earlier, this is now an industry that I've got no idea about.
Yeah.
We did a proper professional recording where I've got like a white backdrop, really expensive camera, and the backlash.
Yeah.
The backlash that we got off that, because it was well put together, people just did not like it.
No, it's a strange world, isn't it? Because I battled that with working producing at Unilad. Like, I always try and make really high quality video and TV quality stuff, and sometimes that doesn't get the response that you think it would. You know, people do. You know, any time we put out like a sketch or that we've like wrote, produced, directed, spent you know weeks, sometimes months working on, not normally months, sometimes weeks working on, you know, we'll put that out, but that you will beat that. We hands down, your video will go next, and people will just flock to it, and it's amazing to see because what it is it's opening up, it's opening up creativity for people to create their own projects and
you've just got
the world.
You're literally like what you and a lot of other people are doing, are what they're inspiring young kids thinking.
You have
if
passion.
If we can get a little phone camera. I know there's a couple of kids going around at the minute. Have you heard of the It's Me Fraz? No, the young kids from Bradford. They're basically like young estate kids. But they're just being estate kids, and they've clearly just got a phone and gone, yeah, mate, just record me stood against this garage. And what they've done, and they've got like 80,000 followers now, and they've got more followers than me on Instagram. I've been an actor for 15 years now. They've been doing it for a month. But they've just blown up. But it's brilliant that people like you are inspiring young kids to go and do stuff like that.
Yeah, man. They've got passion for what they do, and they do it. And people, I think, more than see what they're doing, they see the passion that they have for it.
Yeah.
You've got to be creative. If you think you've got something, put it out there.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
If you're a singer, if you're a musician, if you're an actor...
Whack it on Facebook. Fuck what everyone else thinks.
Do it.
Yeah.
You can't... There was a comedian who said, you can't please all the people all the time, just some of the people some of the time.
Bob Marley, isn't it? I think.
I don't know.
You can't please some people sometimes, but you can't please all the people all the time.
You see, when you say you've got to be creative, definitely don't sing.
Yeah, don't put that on Facebook.
I think we'll draw it in there with my shit finger. But
no,
what an amazing note to end on as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and it is brilliant that that what you've done is inspiring young kids to just pick up a phone camera now, put a funny video on Facebook, and it can blow up, so, like you said, so easily, 4 hours, 55,000 views or whatever. Yeah. And if you found something you're good at, then I think you should just do it. Just
don't
crack on.
Don't be nervous about other people's opinions.
And you get that a lot in the online comments and stuff like that. People are very opinionated nowadays, and that's amazing and terrible at the same time.
People hate to see people do well, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
It is a shame.
But, Tim, like say, mate, you know, I've known you for quite a few years now, and I've seen your life change, and it's fucking amazing, and I love watching your journey. And if you don't follow Tim on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, where are you, Tim? Where can people find you? On them.
Yeah, I need to know this as well, please.
Well, I'm here. Shall I give your address?
No, don't give my address.
So my Twitter is Tiny Tim Adventures. If you just put in Tiny Tim,
you'll find it.
Instagram, tinytim.adventures. It's all just put
it's
in Tiny
Tim Adventures. You'll find it. He's the one with all the millions of views and that. But yeah, thanks for coming on, Tim, and chatting to us.
Thank you very much, mate.
And I hope your kids aren't mentally scarred when they hear
this. Yeah, bless them.
I hope they are.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Well, mate,
honestly,
that was, I mean, he's certainly got a broad outlook on life, hasn't he?
He has, and he's listening to him a lot of the time, I guess, on that, like, he sounds like an horrible father, but he's actually not. I can vouch for that. Like, he's two kids, I've met them both, I think, and I've definitely met his son, Kieran, but... He's a great dad, and obviously a lot of that is his stand up background.
Yeah,
it's his stand up routine.
That's what he's doing. Yeah, he's sort of he's in his character a little bit. But I mean, what we said towards the end of that interview, what I said was, he's such an inspiration to young kids.
Yeah.
If you're watching and listening, and you think, well, if Tim just picked up his phone and just recorded himself doing something daft, then you can do that as well. You know, you can bang it on Facebook, and again, ignore if Pete. You know, you'll get the odd knobheads commenting on saying that you're not funny, or you'll get this, you'll get that. But if you're enjoying doing it and people are picking
crack
up on it, then just crack on doing it. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. It's just a big. I think he's a brilliant role model for young kids.
100%. I always say this anytime, like, people, you know, I've done like I think I say in this interview, like I did a Q&A like last week and. I go back to my like old drama school, not drama school because I never went to drama school, drama college. And every now and again, and sort of chat to the students there. And one thing that they always ask is, like, oh, what advice would you give men? It's to stay creative and be creative no matter what. So, you know, like, we're doing a podcast because we want to do something creative together because we enjoy each other's company and we enjoy creating things together. And This is England might not happen again, so we might not get to work together again as actors.
Yeah.
Realistically, we might not.
No.
So this is our substitute for This Is England 92. Please, Shane, stop the podcast. Let's do 92. No, but I always say, we now live in a time where you've got a HD camera in your pocket.
Yeah.
90% of students or whatever have got access to an iPhone, a Samsung, or a Huawei, or whatever you call it, phones. And you can use that to create stuff. And it's because of people like that, you know, Shane Meadows did that.
Shane Meadows did exactly that.
Picked up a camera, obviously not a high def camera and whatnot, because it was like the late 80s, early 90s. But he did that, and he went and made and created and did the same thing that Tim's doing now. The only difference is Tim has got a
bigger platform,
straight off social media. Yeah, exactly. Which Shane didn't have. He's obviously, you know, made film after film after film after film, and come up with some amazing stuff. And you know, without people like that, we'd be out. We would never met. We'd never have a job.
If you can create a character, even something that you do at home, where, like, I do silly little voices around the house with Charlotte all the time.
Do us one now.
No.
Do us a voice.
No.
Do us a voice. No. Dance, monkey, dance.
But no, what I'm saying is you could just do that and just put it online, and if it's some, you don't need to be able to do anything with it, because if you can make a little team, you've got production companies that, you know, not every, you can't make a film by yourself.
No,
everyone needs to.
There's people out there who want to do it as well.
Clockwork, isn't it? So everyone wants to be doing different little things. And
yeah,
I think Tim's just a great role model in terms of you don't need to be bought up with loads of money and all this and all that to be able to do something you enjoy and enjoy doing, and for people to enjoy watching it as well.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, again, getting Tim in was why we wanted to talk to him, was because of that thing. Like you say, like me and you, I don't really understand, you know, the whole YouTube thing, how it works, stuff like that. So it was nice to have to have that kind of explained to us a little bit and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, because it's become such a big thing.
YouTubers are now, I think I say it in the podcast, YouTubers are the rock stars of the day now.
Yeah.
When we do charity football matches with Tim, there are guaranteed, because I've done a fair few of them now, like there are guaranteed always a big bunch of kids shouting, Tim, do boys, Tim. And you love him, man, and it's fucking amazing to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he makes the days because he goes over and chats to him. He's dead nice, do you know what I mean?
I'm concerned about how much you play football because you're not very good at
it. I'm terrible at football. I genuinely keep playing bad so that they won't. I love doing the charity work, but I'm terrible at football. Yeah. Let me be like the water boy. Do football have water boys?
Not really.
We make this a thing?
You could
Jaffa cakes. People who play football eat Jaffa cakes, innit, at the break. I can hand out Jaffa cakes like this. I bet
Ronaldo doesn't eat Jaffa cakes.
Ronaldo loves a Jaffa cake. You know what, he likes them lemon ones.
Yeah, he's allegedly got the body to say that he likes.
Yeah, man. Anyway, so that's...
when we start waffling, that's when it's like, okay, it's time to end now.
Rein it in. Yeah. It was a long episode, guys, so we won't keep you as long. Again, as always, thank you for listening. If you literally in your office today or wherever your place of work, literally just say, does anyone listen to podcasts? And if people go, no, tell them to listen to this podcast.
Tell them to grow up.
And grow up.
It's 2018.
And if people say yes, go, have you heard over it and everything? And if they say no, just run at them dead now. Just say, have a listen. Just have a listen. Subscribe. Because these lads are you know, we've got a good thing going here. We enjoy it.
Yeah,
and,
loving it.
We want you to listen. We want you to share it so everybody can feel the love and hear great people, like quite great guests like Tim. And our guest next week, which Tomo, announce it,
is the Manchester, I will say, legend.
He fully is a Manc legend.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I met him would have been at a Scots menswear event in Manchester Media City. He was DJing, which he does a lot of nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
But he originally is known massively from the Inspiral Carpets.
Yeah.
Clint Boone.
Clint Boone, man, absolute legend.
Yeah.
Hashtag Boone Army.
Boone Army.
The Boone Army.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so join us next week for episode, let me work it out, 7.
7, I believe.
With Clint friggin' Boone, man.
Yeah, this was a big one for you, wasn't it?
I love the guy.
This was your John McClaw.
I think so. Even though John McClaw's a fucking legend.
Of course.
Yeah.
For me, he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. See you same place, same time next Monday morning. Bye.
I need a poo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.